Ramsey.com.
There are some times in our life where we could use a little bit more wisdom than we have, right? I discovered that this week in a painful way. It was late at night. I had gotten out of bed and came back into bed, and our room is very dark. I mean, we have blackout curtains and all that, so it's a really dark room, but you know, when you're familiar with your bedroom, you know your way around. So I walked back into my bedroom, bed here, walked along the bed, and before I got into bed, I needed to put on, I sleep with a CPAP machine for sleep apnea. It's minor, but I need to use it. So that machine is right here on the floor. So I walked along the side of my bed, reached down to pick up the mask to put it on. The only problem was, is in my apparently not very good orientation, I was not facing this way. I was facing this way. And right here is a large bookshelf. That accounts for this mess on my nose, which is not as bad as it was earlier in the week. I went head to head with a bookshelf and lost. And I thought in that moment, well, I thought a lot of things in that moment. I will tell you that none of them were curse words, but there was pain involved. But I could have used a little bit of wisdom in that moment and probably handled things a little bit differently. Now, that's a small example, right, of where relatively harmless results for the most part, maybe just a little scar. But oftentimes, the stakes are a whole lot higher when it comes to wisdom. Right? Our friendships are at stake, or our futures are at stake, and our faith might be at stake. We can make decisions, we do make decisions every day, that have pretty profound impact on the rest of our lives, right? Those decisions could be the difference between financial well-being and financial failure. It could be the difference between a healthy marriage and a horrible one. It could be the difference between success in our career or really struggling in our career. And so wouldn't it be amazing if we could have the wisdom to know just what to do in every possible circumstance, right? Wisdom that would help us know what to say or how to act or how to live in every circumstance. And in essence, that was the reality for King Solomon. That was the life he had. King Solomon was the third king in Israel's history, and he was blessed with incredible wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3 tells us that God appeared to Solomon in a dream and told him, ask me for what you would wish for me to do for you. And Solomon asked to receive understanding or wisdom to govern God's people. Now, because he asked for this good thing and not for things like long life or riches or victory over his enemies, God was going to give him what he asked for. He was going to give him wisdom and give him understanding along with all those other things as well. One story that captures the wisdom of Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 3 and 6 through 9. Read it for you. Now, when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And she said to the king, "The report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. But I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpassed the report that I heard. Happy are your men. Happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom." That's what my kids say to me all the time. Right. "Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. He has made you king that you may execute justice and righteousness." So she is just gushing all over Solomon's wisdom, right? And all the blessings that God had given him. Solomon had all kinds of wisdom, wisest man who ever lived. So having wisdom like Solomon certainly would make life easier to navigate, wouldn't it? I mean, while But here's the thing. While we may not actually possess Solomon's wisdom, we have Solomon's wisdom right here in the Scriptures. Right here in the Scriptures. We have the stories of Solomon. We have the book of Ecclesiastes, which he wrote, the Song of Solomon, and this collection of wise sayings in the book of Proverbs. And it's a collection of wise sayings that he assembled, but also was written as advice to his son, passing on his wisdom to his son. And consequently, it's wisdom that is passed on to us. So this morning, we're going to be looking at a part of that book of Proverbs, and we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 21. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles as we read through it here in a moment, it's page 543 in the Bibles that we have here at the church. Proverbs 21. He says this, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hands of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, are sin. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. The violence of the wicked will sweep them away because they refuse to do what is just. The way of the guilty is crooked, but the conduct of the pure is upright. It is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife." Remember, he is passing on advice to his son, not making a blanket statement about women in general, okay? "The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no mercy in his eyes. When a scoffer is punished, the simple become wise. When a wise man is instructed, he gains knowledge. The righteous one observes the house of the wicked. He throws the wicked down to ruin. Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. A gift in secret averts anger, a concealed bribe strong wrath. When a justice is done, it's a joy to the righteous, but terror to the evildoers. One who wanders from the way of good sense will rest in the assembly of the dead. Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. The wicked is a ransom for the righteous and a traitor for the upright. It is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it. Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. Whoever keeps his mouth and tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. The desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. All day long he craves and craves, but the righteous gives and does not hold back. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with evil intent? A false witness will perish, but the word of a man who hears will endure. A wicked man puts on a bold face, but the upright gives thought to his ways. No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord." Now, we're not going to cover every aspect of this chapter, but I do want to highlight some things this morning that have been kind of on my heart in regards to this. This beginning of this chapter, Solomon starts out by writing, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart." That's verses 1 and 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. So Solomon says, look, we have ways in this world that we think are the right way to go. That kind of wisdom, though, is not going to get us anywhere. He echoes this and gives all these contrasting examples throughout this passage and actually throughout this book of what earthly wisdom looks like and what godly wisdom looks like. He does that specifically throughout this passage. Just look at a few as examples. In verse 5, he says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance." but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. All right, there's earthly wisdom and there's godly wisdom. Right? Verse 8 is another example. The way of the guilty is crooked, but the conduct of the pure is upright. Earthly wisdom, godly wisdom. Verse 15, when justice is done, it's a joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. Right? One is the result of earthly wisdom, one is the result of godly wisdom. He even contrasts this a little bit in two different verses. Verse 16, one who wanders from the way of good sense will rest in the assembly of the dead. And then verse 21, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. Okay, so he contrasts these things throughout this passage and even throughout this book. But then we come to verse 30. And it says this, it kind of sums this all up and says, no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. See, the idea he's really bringing across here is God's wisdom will prevail. Right? God's wisdom will prevail. Worldly wisdom, our own thinking, our own understanding, it's never going to stand. If it's hostile or contrary to what God's wisdom is, then it's a problem. Because any wisdom that's not from God is foolishness. Right? Any understanding that is not from God is ignorance. And any counsel that opposes God is really bad advice. God's wisdom will prevail. It's the only wisdom that will. And that's whose wisdom we should be seeking. So the question would be, where do we find that wisdom and that understanding? Where do we seek his counsel? And you've maybe heard this before from me, but I want to share it again. God generally speaks to us through three specific things. He speaks through his word, through his spirit, and through his people. We see this consistent. God generally speaks to us through his word, his spirit, or his people. And when these three things work together, they really help keep us in the right direction. He speaks to us through his word, first and foremost. His word is truth. It is the truth. Right? God's history, his interactions with humanity, his messages delivered through his prophets, what we understand to be true about Jesus, who is God in the flesh and the Savior, right? It's all recorded for us here, what we need to know. He's given his word to us, his truth, so that we can know it. Right? It's why we have the scripture. So his word is truth. But he also speaks to us through his spirit. And the scriptures tell us that when we come to faith in Jesus, when we put our faith and trust in him, then God puts his Holy Spirit within us. Right? That's what moves us from a place of spiritual deadness in our life to being alive, spiritually alive, the Holy Spirit within us. And the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and encourages us. He convicts us of sin. He prompts us to action and teaches us. So the idea is here is his spirit guides us into truth. Okay, his word is truth, but his spirit guides us into truth. Now those two things are never going to contradict one another. Right? God's word and his spirit, they're not going to contradict one another. If someone says, well, I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying it's okay to do this, but it's contrary to God's word, whatever this is, then that's not the Holy Spirit speaking. Now, it might be the enemy trying to deceive you, trying to fool you, trying to get you off track. It could be the voices in your own head kind of telling you, this is what I want, convincing yourself, yeah, I think God wants this too. But if his word and the Holy Spirit are not in line, then it's not the Holy Spirit that you're hearing. Okay, his Holy Spirit is never going to contradict his word. So he speaks to us through his word, speaks to us through his spirit, and he speaks to us through his people. Right? God uses his people in different ways to help speak to us. Maybe you hear something in a message. I hope at least once in a while you hear something in a message. Or in a worship song that we sing. Or maybe in a song on Christian radio. Or maybe in a conversation with another believer. Right? God uses his people to speak to us. Now, similarly, if what his people are saying is contrary to the Holy Spirit or contrary to the Word of God, then you probably need to check it, right? But when a number of people are speaking into your life and it's consistent with His Spirit and it's consistent with what the Word of God says, then we should pay attention to it, because God often uses His people to speak to us. And the point is this: His people speak the truth. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And we speak the truth because it's in line with His Spirit and His Word, okay? So if we want genuine wisdom, if we want godly wisdom that's going to prevail, if we want wisdom that comes from the heart of God, then we're going to seek it in His Word, by His Spirit, and through His people. Okay, when all three of these agree, you can be sure you're on the right track. Okay, so that's about godly wisdom. But here's the thing: godly wisdom on its own is not enough. Right? Godly wisdom on its own is not enough. I mean, consider the life of King Solomon. He was renowned for his wisdom. I mean, we just read that passage before where the Queen of Sheba was gushing over all of his wisdom. In his incredible wisdom, Solomon wrote the words at the beginning of this chapter where he says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. He's saying, look, the king's heart, that's in the Lord's hands. My heart is in your hands, God. You can take me wherever you want to take me. I'm like a channel of water. You can direct me however you need to. My heart is yours. Unfortunately, what he wrote here, while they're incredibly wise words, in many ways they were only words. He never took them to heart, at least not fully. At least not fully. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 4 says this: Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, right, here's what God said, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Right, he warned the people, do not marry into these unbelieving people. They're going to turn your heart away. And Solomon, who is the king, with all of his wisdom, he didn't heed that. It said Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. See, Solomon had witnessed King David, his father, living out what it meant to have a devoted heart before him. Now, David wasn't perfect. He made his mistakes too. But his heart was in the right place. It was completely for God. He was called a man after God's own heart. Solomon had a front row seat to seeing his father live like that. And then Solomon had been blessed with this incredible wisdom, but his heart was divided. Right? His heart was divided. He couldn't devote his heart to one woman, clearly. 700 wives? That's a problem. He couldn't devote his heart to one woman. He couldn't devote his heart to the one true God. Instead, he followed after other gods. And because his heart was divided, God also split his kingdom in two. Right? 10 of the 12 tribes were delivered into the hands of one of Solomon's officers, Jeroboam. God said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take it away from you because your heart is divided. And here's the key idea as we look at the life of Solomon, as we consider these words. The key idea for this morning that I hope we'll take away is this. Look, God's wisdom will prevail, right? There's nothing wrong with God's wisdom. It's perfect. It's right. God's wisdom will prevail, but hearts divided, they always fail. Right? God's wisdom will prevail, but hearts divided always fail. Now think about that, even in practical terms. When it comes to, let's say, diet and exercise, right? Knowing what you need to eat and how much you need to exercise is important. But if you really aren't motivated to do it, if your heart isn't in it, you probably never hit your goals. Right? Anyone relate to that? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm there, right? In the same way, spiritually, if we gain godly wisdom, and we should seek to do that, it's going to make it easier for us to navigate our way through life like God intended. It should keep us on course. But if our heart isn't in it, we're not going to listen to that godly wisdom. We aren't going to grow spiritually then. We aren't going to get to where God wants to take us. All the wisdom in the world doesn't do a bit of good if our heart isn't fully yielded to God. We need to gain godly wisdom, but we also need to keep an undivided heart. God's wisdom will prevail, but hearts divided always fail. There was a story that I heard this week from another pastor who shared about the life of his grandmother. And she grew up loving Jesus, really following after Jesus, had a heart for him. But as she got a little bit older, she met a man who wasn't good to her at all. And he didn't elaborate on that, but he just said he was not a good man. Her friends and family warned her not to go forward in the relationship with this guy. It was contrary to what Scripture was saying. He wasn't a follower of Christ, but she fell for him, right? And they were married. They got married. And they were married for over 2 decades before he passed away. But she described that time as 25 years of hell. 25 years of hell. That's what she committed to in her mind. If she had trusted God's wisdom instead of doing what was right in her own eyes, she could have avoided all of that. It would have saved her 25 years of misery. Right? All the wisdom in the world doesn't do us any good if our heart's not fully devoted to the Lord. God's wisdom will prevail. There's nothing wrong with his wisdom. We can trust that. But hearts divided always fail. So this morning I want to challenge you with 2 questions as we wrap up. And they're in your notes. You don't have to write them down or anything. They're already there. But the first question is this. Are you actively seeking God's wisdom? Right? Are you actively seeking God's wisdom? Right? Now, regardless of how much godly wisdom you feel like you have to this point, we should always be trying to gain more of it, shouldn't we? Right? So are you actively seeking God's wisdom? Are you searching the Scriptures? Studying His Word? Are you spending time in prayer so you can hear the voice of His Spirit? Are you connecting with other believers in meaningful ways, especially those who are maybe a few steps ahead of you spiritually, so they can speak into your life about the decisions you're making, allowing God to have a chance to speak through His people? Right? See, sometimes we have a head problem, right? Like our hearts are in the right place. We love God, and we have this passion to follow God, but when it comes to living our lives, we're still just doing whatever we want. It's what's right in our own eyes. And what was it that verse 16 said? The one who wanders from the way of good sense will rest in the assembly of the dead end. Of the dead. It's a dead end, right? It's a dead end. It's headed in the wrong place. It's only going to lead to a bad situation. Only God's wisdom is going to get us where we need to be. So we need to be actively seeking God's wisdom in our life. Now, if you can relate to that struggle this morning, like my heart's for God. I really love God. I really am passionate and want to follow God. But I'm lacking that wisdom. Can I challenge you to start making your time with God more of a priority in your life? Right? Make sure you're seeking God's wisdom. Get in the Scriptures. Spend time in prayer. Make sure you're connecting with other believers who can speak into your life. Okay? Are you seeking God's wisdom? Are you actively doing that? That's the first challenge, and maybe some of you can relate to that, but for some of you, maybe the issue is a little different. It's not an issue with your head, it's more of a heart issue, right? Is your heart in the Lord's hands? And that's the second question. Is your heart in the Lord's hands? And I know what the answer is, right? Of course it is, Eric. I'm a Christian. I've been a follower of Jesus for years. I'll do whatever He wants me to do. Yeah, I know that that's the right answer. But is that really where our hearts are at? Is that where your heart is at? Is that where my heart is at? Is it fully yielded to Him? Am I laying my heart in His hands day by day, moment by moment, decision by decision? See, maybe like Solomon, we know the truth. Like we have God's wisdom. We know it. We've been seeking God's wisdom, but we aren't living it out because our heart isn't fully in it. Right? Instead of our heart being focused and devoted like David's was, we have a divided heart like King Solomon. And so if you can relate to that aspect this morning, then my challenge for you is to surrender your heart to Jesus as fully as you can. Now, I realize that maybe what holds us back sometimes is that we don't know if we can trust God. Like, if I really surrender my heart to Jesus and start to get after what he wants for me, I don't know if I can trust God, right? I know that what he says is good and true, but deep inside, maybe we're afraid that if I surrender every decision to him and trust him in his wisdom, if I commit with all my heart, then I'm afraid I might leave me unfulfilled. Right? It might leave me unsatisfied. It might leave me empty. It could leave me poor. It could leave me lonely. But Isaiah 41:10 says this in a way of encouragement in this: fear not, for God is with us. Don't be dismayed or discouraged, for he is our God. He will strengthen us. He will help us. He will uphold us in his righteousness by his mighty power. Right? We can trust in him. We can trust in him. God's wisdom will prevail, but divided hearts always fail. So the second part of the challenge is simply, is your heart in the Lord's hands? I'm going to take a moment and pray regarding these. If the worship team wants to come back up, we're going to continue in a time of song. But let's take a moment and just pray about these two aspects: seeking God's wisdom in our life and also having a heart that's yielded to him. Heavenly Father, God of the universe, who loves us so incredibly much, we do know that you offer us your wisdom. Through your word, through your spirit, through your people, you speak to us and you lead us and you guide us in the way that we should go. We've just read a section of your scripture which gives us incredible wisdom into our own life. And God, we need to be actively seeking that. You know it. That's why you've given it to us. And for those that might be here this morning saying, yeah, that's a challenge for me. That's a struggle for me. Like, my heart is for God, but I really don't know all of what I need to know. I'm really not seeking his wisdom each and every day. I pray that you would give the strength to do that, to take a next step, to make that time with you a priority. And God, as they do, I also ask that you would bless their efforts in it, that they would begin to see you, that we would all begin to see you with a new perspective, a greater love for you, a greater understanding of who you are. And for those who might be struggling more with the place their heart is at, who maybe have spent all that time in God's word and in small groups and in prayer, but you know that a heart isn't quite in the right place, that is not fully devoted to following you. Pray that you would give us the strength, the ability to surrender, to lay it in your hands, and to trust you in every aspect of our lives. And while that is not an easy thing, we pray that you would give us the ability to do that, that you would enable us to do so, knowing that you are a God who is with us, a God who cares, a God who loves us. Father, help us to grow in our wisdom of who you are and what you want from us, but also spur on our hearts to be more fully devoted to following you and to the wisdom that you give us. Give us a heart that pursues you. And we lift these things before you in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. This morning we're going to continue in worship, and I want to invite you to join us as we do that with the song, Here's My Heart. We want to.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.